Hi, this is Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic. This is a MedicCast podcast extra production. We're here looking at, today, heart blocks. And we're going to be looking at the associated AV blocks here in this MedicCast extra video slideshow. So what are we talking about when we talk about heart blocks? Well, in this segment, we're going to be talking about just some of the basics of reading EKGs. We need to be aware of reviewing some of those basics so that we can understand, make sure we're talking about the same things when we talk to different, talk about different parts of the strip. So we'll review that. We're going to look at AV blocks versus other blocks and how they relate to each other. We'll talk about first degree heart blocks, second degree type 1, second degree type 2, and also third degree or complete heart blocks in this particular segment. So EKG basics, what are we talking about? ECG, EKG, electrocardiogram, whatever you want to say. What do we need to know? What are some of the basics? We need to look at the anatomy of an EKG. We need to recognize parts of the rhythm, understand how things are timed and related to each other, and some of the special intervals and associations between different parts of the rhythm, because some things are supposed to follow other things, and if they don't, then that's a key sign, especially in understanding blocks. First of all, P waves. P waves represent the atrial contraction. They're the first small wave before a QRS complex, the big wave, the big contraction of the ventricles. So we're looking for that P wave, and that can be spotted in your EKG. We also look at QRS complexes. QRS complexes or QRS waves are representing the contraction of the ventricles, the larger portion, the bottom of the heart, that is contracting up to on the right side to really push blood into the lungs to be oxygenated, on the left side to be pushed out into the systemic circulation in that high pressure side of the system. And so we have the QRS complex. Also, the T wave, which represents repolarization of the cells in the ventricles. There is repolarization of the atrial cells, but that occurs and is hidden most often by the QRS complex. So the repolarization, there is a wave that would repolarize our P wave, but it doesn't show up because the contraction of the ventricles is so strong it obliterates and obscures that particular repolarization wave. Remember that there is a normal P to R interval. The interval between the beginning of the P wave and the beginning of the QRS complex should be less than 200 milliseconds in length. That is less than 5 of the small squares on your EKG strip. And so that's something to be aware of, something that you should learn to recognize and determine what that interval is, because when you determine what that interval is, it'll help you determine what's going on in the rest of the EKG. And if it's wide, it indicates a heart block. So that's one of the things that you need to be looking for. So what about heart blocks, AV blocks, and other types of blocks? Well, AV blocks refer to blocks that occur in the atrioventricular node, the AV node. And these are related, the AV node represents that P to R interval. The AV node is the transmission point of the electrical signal that has contracted the atria. It comes down from both the left and the right atrium into the AV node, and there is an intrinsic delay that occurs there. And physiologically, this delay is there to ensure complete filling of the ventricles after the atrial squeeze. So the atrium contract and squeeze blood out and assist with preload and fill the ventricles. And then the ventricles themselves stretch and fill up. And that break, that pause, allows for all of the blood to get into the ventricles. But if that pause is too long, then it can cause issues. So that P to R interval occurs in the atrioventricular node. And that interval is, again, less than 200 milliseconds. There are also bundle branch blocks. The bundle branches are the branches that descend from the AV node, from the bundle of His, and they branch out to go to the left and the right left and right ventricles. And these branches carry the signal, the left bundle branch to the left ventricle, the right bundle branch to the right ventricle. So if you have a bundle branch block, there is some ischemia or problem with the cardiac tissue that has caused a break in the signal. Just like you cut a wire in your home, if you're doing some home improvement and you cut that wire and now the light switch doesn't work anymore, well, you've just cut a bundle branch to that light switch. Same thing happens in the heart. If the signal doesn't go through the bundle branch, it won't contract evenly together, and you'll see a widening of the QRS complex. The left bundle branch not just has a left bundle branch block, but you may also have a hemi block. One, the bundle branch itself branches out into two main branches, and these hemi fascicles, half branches, are the hemi blocks, the source of the hemi blocks. And so you can have a hemifascicular block related to one of the two branches of the bundle branch, the left bundle branch. And so that's what those blocks are related to. We're going to be talking about AV blocks, and the atrioventricular blocks start with the first degree heart block. First degree heart blocks, I think, are most often mistaken, I think, in many cases by sloppy paramedics as normal sinus rhythm. We have a patient, we put the monitor on them, maybe they don't have a cardiac complaint. We look at the rhythm, it looks like a normal sinus rhythm. We have P wave, we have QRS wave, and everything seems to be matching up just fine. It may not be fast or slow, and we just call it normal sinus rhythm. But it's not, because we haven't bothered to measure our P to R interval. And if we had, we'd notice that in the case of a first degree block, that it was wider, that the P to R interval is wider than 200 milliseconds. That is the key criteria for a first degree heart block. Everything else should be appearing as normal, and it is independent of other problems that might be going on. You could have a tachycardia or a bradycardia and still have a wide P to R interval showing signs of a first degree heart block that is also concurrently happening with bradycardia. And again, you want to look at every P wave, and you want to determine, is there a QRS wave after every P wave? And if there is, that's good. We know that the signal is still getting through, but that it is wide, that there's too long of a delay in this situation. Our P to R interval is too wide. Our P to P intervals are normal. There's no change there. So let's move forward into the second degree blocks. Now, there are two types of second degree blocks. These always got me mixed up in paramedic school, so you know it's listen close if you're learning this. If you need to review it, we're reviewing it now. The type 1 AV block, the type 1 second degree block, is also known as a Wankybach block, the funny named block. I also heard somebody call it once Mobitz 1 block. Happens in the AV node, and it's just we have a wide P to R interval. There is not always a QRS, though. We are dropping QRS waves. This is indicative of second degree heart blocks and third degree heart blocks. We no longer have complete transmission of signal from top to bottom. There is some problem occurring in the heart, in this case in the AV node, where we are not transmitting the signal from the atrium to the ventricles on every occasion. And this is an indication in this block. In the case of a type 1 block, we actually have the interval P to R interval widening. So it's not just wide and consistently wide, it is widening. So one time, let's say we have, it's 5.5 blocks, and you know, in the small blocks on the EKG. And the next time it's 6.5 blocks, it's getting bigger. And the next time it's 7.5 blocks, and then all of a sudden we see a P wave and there's no QRS complex. Wider, wider, wider drop, then you have a Wankybach. And it can be 5 widers, it can be 3 widers, and there's no significance other than it might be pretty consistent that it's the same distance all the time. Wider, wider, wider drop, then you have a Wankybach. And this is a second degree type 1 block. Again, you're looking for a widening interval where it's getting bigger each time. Use your poor man's calipers, your piece of paper where you hold it up next to the strip, mark the distance between the beginning of the P wave and QRS wave, and then go measure it according to the next one. It's getting bigger, it's getting bigger. And then eventually you get to a P wave and there's no QRS complex. And then you see a P wave where you expect it again, and now we have another QRS complex. You want to look for that dropped complex. I mean, you look for your QRS complex. They may be regular, so if you measure, you know, from the top of a QRS complex to the next one, just keep measuring along, and if you see a space where one should be, that could be your indication that this is a second degree type 1 AV block in this situation. Second degree type 2 AV blocks, also known as a Hayes block, a Mobitz 2 block. This happens actually just below the AV node in the Hiss bundle of Hiss or beginning of the Purkinje system, where it's going in, getting ready to branch out into the bundle branches. Again, there's not always a QRS wave. We're going to have dropped QRS complexes. The signal is not getting through on every contraction of the atria. And there is a wide P to R interval. The interval in this case is regular because the problem is not in the AV node. It's wide, but it's regular. But the drop beats are happening below the AV node. This is a particularly insidious kind of block. When you see a second degree type 2 AV block, you should be prepared for a complete heart block. It rapidly progresses all on its own to a full heart block, a third degree heart block, and you can lead to cardiac arrest and death. So you need to be prepared for pacing these patients, expecting them to go into a complete heart block. Again, you have a consistently wide P to R interval. You have regular intervals for your P to P segments. So measure your P waves and see how they match up to each other. They should be about the same distance apart. But you're looking for a dropped QRS after a series of consistently wide P to R intervals. So again, difference between a second degree type 1 and a second degree type 2, the type 1 is wider, wider, wider drop. It gets wider each time, and then there's a drop beat. In the type 2, it's consistently wide, and then there's a drop beat. And the type 2, they're all something you want to be concerned about, but the type 2 is the one you need to be having, being ready to do something for this patient, because it could change before your eyes. Just look for those dropped QRS waves. Those are going to be the keys for your second degree and third degree heart blocks. Third degree heart block. Here we go. This is a complete heart block. This is like, you know, you're standing across the room and you're turning the light switch on and off and none of the lights are changing. You know, why do you keep standing there and flipping the switch? I know when I was growing up, I had a house up in my parents' house. There was a switch on the wall. None of us knew what it did. And we would just walk by the switch and turn it on and off, you know. And I always wondered what that switch did. You know, I always pictured, you know, somewhere in our house, there was a light going on and off. But maybe not. Maybe that switch had been cut. The wire between it and the light that it controlled had been cut somewhere along the line in home improvement land. And there was no communication. We were trying to send a signal, and the signal wasn't getting through. And that's what you're looking at. So we have P waves and QRS waves. Sometimes we see things that look odd. We're looking for changes in that morphology. And P wave intervals are regular. When you can find a P wave, they're consistently the same distance apart. And if you can't find a P wave, and it's maybe hidden somewhere, if you expected to see a P wave there, move down and see if it matches up to the next P wave. That can tell you that it's regular. QRS wave intervals are often regular because we have the ventricular rhythm is now being set, that pace is now being set by the ventricular pacemakers intrinsic in the ventricles or in the bundles of Hiss and Purkinje fibers, and these are setting the rate somewhere between 20 and 40 beats a minute. We are looking for hidden P waves, though. This is going to be your clue. Remember, there's no matchup between P and QRS waves. So try to find the hidden P waves. Look for a QRS complex that looks weird, has an extra hump in it, has an extra bump that isn't in the ones on either side of it. They look different because there's a P wave hiding in there. So look for that. Morphology of the waves is a clue. When the shape of a wave changes from the one that was just before it, you know, QRS waves in the same person should look the same from beat to beat to beat to beat. When they don't, it's because something else is hidden underneath. Again, you just want to think about third degree AV block. There's no correlation between the ventricles and the atrium. The P and QRS waves are regular within themselves. That you are looking for hidden P waves, and again, changes in morphology are important here. When you see those changes, something is hiding behind that changed wave. And that can be a P wave that was supposed to be there. And if you measure it out, you often find that might be the case. That's your key for this. Let's review real quick. Be systematic in your approach. Measure your P to R intervals. Look and see P wave, P wave, P wave. Is there a QRS after this P wave and that P wave and the next P wave? First degree, only thing you're looking at is a wide P to R interval. Nothing else changes. Every P wave has a QRS complex immediately after it, and they all correlate to each other. Second degree type 1, Wenckebach block, wider, wider, wider drop. Then you have a Wenckebach. Second degree type 2, wide, consistently wide, and you're going to have multiple wide P to R intervals and then a dropped QRS wave. When that happens, be prepared. You should be worried about this type of heart block. When you find it, that it could rapidly progress to something else and be a complete heart block before your eyes. It may not always happen. It's not frequently going to happen, but this is the one that has that happen. The other ones are progressive blocks that get worse and worse and worse. You're not likely to see major changes in a second degree type 1, but you should hold some reserve. Again, treat the patient, not the monitor. Third degree heart block. No communication between the P waves and the QRS waves. You're often going to have a patient who's bradycardic because the ventricular rhythm, the one that gets the blood out to the body, is going to be bradycardic because it's being set by the pacemaker in the ventricles, which has a rate of between 20 and 40 beats per minute. And that's not enough to do the job, so you're likely having to pace patients who are on third degree heart blocks. References for this you can find in the show notes for this episode, and I urge you to check those out. Definitely want to follow up on the information here. This has been a MedicCast Podcast Extra production. I'm Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic. Check for more at MedicCastExtra.com.